Exodus, the 10th chapter, we read these words, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord.'" This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, we've been looking at the plagues in Egypt, and as we look at chapter 10, look at chapter 9 and 10, we're going to look at a series of plagues. But chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, tells us the reason that God sent these plagues. God publishes his own glory. He proclaims his own glory through the signs and the wonders. You see that twice in these two verses. "That you may tell your son and your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." That has been a consistent theme through chapter 8 and 9 regarding the plagues in Egypt. "That you may know that I am the Lord." Not the gods of Egypt, not Pharaoh. "I am the Lord." That message continues as we look in chapter 9, and we'll look there briefly at chapter 9, verse 8, if you want to turn there. And we're going to begin looking at the boils and then at the hail. We'll look then in chapter 10 at the locusts and the darkness. I want to cover each of these briefly so that we can see how they lead us up to the last plague, which we know full well to be the plague where God slays the firstborn of everyone in Egypt. But we're going to look at the boils, the hail, the locusts, and the darkness. We've seen the flies, and we've seen the blood, and we've seen the frogs. But now we're going to cover these plagues: boils, hail, locusts, and darkness. So turn back to chapter 9, and beginning at verse 8, it says this: "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take handfuls of soot from the kiln, and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become a fine dust over all the land and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.' Moses did so. He threw it in the air and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast." Note the next verse, verse 11. "But the magicians could not even stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians." Soot from a furnace. Why soot? Well, the answer is somewhat of poetic justice. The type of furnace that is spoken of here is probably a kiln for burning bricks. And what was Egypt doing with Israel? Well, Egypt was making them burn bricks. The symbol then is a sign of the oppression of the Hebrews, of the sweat and their tears that they shed when they made bricks for the Egyptians. And the very soot that was made by this enslaved people is now turned by God into something that will inflict punishment upon the oppressors of the Hebrews. And we see that in this passage. They are, first of all, discomforted by great affliction. The sorcerers couldn't even stand. In this context, they were suffering themselves with this boils that were breaking out, creating problems for them. And there's a possibility that when you translate the word boils, some people seem to think it might have been maybe boils. Someone has even said anthrax, but most of them seem to think it's a kind of leprosy, because that's the same word that's used in the book of Leviticus for leprosy, and you remember that when someone had leprosy as a disease, they were unclean. And if you were unclean, you were barred from all religious exercises and civil functions. And so what we see here then is if all of Egypt is given boils or leprosy, there's a national paralysis of Egypt's entire system. I don't know about you, but as I think of all of these plagues, seems to me, you know, I would like to think I would have got the message with the first plague. But then there was another plague and another plague. You know, you had the frogs, you had the gnats, you had the flies, all of that stuff. And it's gross. And it would have been a message you would think that they would have got it. Well, they didn't. But now comes another plague. And the Bible scholars who know something about medicine have taken these symptoms and talked about them. They translate the word boils and talk about it as leprosy, and I think that might be quite accurate. But the point is, if it is leprosy, it's pretty much incurable. God could cure it, but they didn't have a cure for leprosy. Some think it was skin anthrax. Others have other ideas. But this is a problem where someone described it this way. There's a small bluish red pustule in the depression of the swelling, and that depression dries up and boils shoot up. The tissue swells into brains if it is burnt, and it finally peels off. It's gross. It's horrid. You would think that they would have gotten the message. And the plagues are against Egypt. The plagues are against Pharaoh. In fact, it says, against your heart, Pharaoh's heart, the king of Egypt, who had hardened his heart against the Hebrews and against the Lord. But God assaults this heart to demonstrate what? Well, what verse 1 and 2 said about God, that I am the Lord. Pharaoh rejected it. Pharaoh hated God. Pharaoh didn't listen to God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened against the Lord. Let's go down now to chapter 9 and look with me at verse 13. We're going to look now at the next plague that comes along. Chapter 9, verse 13, the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, present yourself to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. Have you ever noticed that phrase? It's repeated over and over. Thus says the Lord, that's Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews. God is identifying who he is. And then he says this, let my people go that they may serve me. That's repeated over and over in the history of the plagues. For this time I will send all my plagues on yourself and your servants and your people, so that you may know there is none like me. Notice that. None like me in all the earth. That ought to have caused Pharaoh to think a little bit, don't you think so? There is none like me. They worshiped God after God after God. They had gods for everything in Egypt. But God says, there is none like me. And then he says in verse 15, for by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. In other words, he's saying bluntly, I could have killed you. I could have stretched out my hand and you would be dead. But notice what he says. But for this purpose, I have raised you up. Why has God raised up Pharaoh? To show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed through all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore, send, get your livestock and all that you have into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field that is not brought home will die when hail falls upon them. Then whoever feared the Lord, word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, hurried the slaves and his livestock into the house. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Now verse 22, stretch out your hand, the Lord says, toward heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt. Notice what this says, on man and beast and every plant in the field. Look across the street when you go out after church today. There's a nice row after row after row of corn standing there nicely waiting for harvest time. Think of that when you think of the hail that comes, and everything in the field is destroyed. Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth. And the Lord rained down hail on the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as had never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field and all of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. All the hail struck down every plant in the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, there was no hail. Look out the doors as you go home. Look at the beautiful corn. Look at the trees that are all around, and imagine in your mind the complete destruction of all of that. This is what happened, because God says, I will raise you up to show you my power. This verse in this passage proves that God was on the throne over Pharaoh. He put Pharaoh in his place, and he did not share his power with Pharaoh. He demonstrated his power over Pharaoh, over Egypt, and hail came and destroyed everything. It struck the entire land of Egypt. It is a comprehensive destruction with this hailstorm. All that is in the field, all of the livestock die, anyone that was in the field would die, all of the plants of the field, all of the trees of the field. If you were a farmer and that happened to your field and you went out to your farm, what would you think? What am I going to do for my crop for next year? There's no field, there's no crop. It's completely destroyed. These three mighty blows of the field and the plants and the trees, everywhere, every visible surface, all that the eye could see is destroyed. And the consequences of this destruction is enormous. Think of the economic impact. Where am I going to get my food? There's no Save-A-Lot store or Strack and Van Til. Where am I going to eat? How am I going to eat? What is this going to be? And it is a complete destruction, so much so that it destroys the wood on the trees. They are destroyed. It destroys everything. God is sovereign. That's the message that these plagues continue to proclaim. We find that in the Psalms. The psalmist says in Psalm 105 that the destructiveness of this plague went on and for centuries. Other peoples at other times were fearful of Israel because of the knowledge of what happened during the plagues in Egypt. fast forward in your minds just a little bit to the people going to Jericho, and they go to Jericho. Do you remember what the spies were told by Rahab, where they were hiding with her as they were spying out Jericho? She told them about hearing about the power of God. That message got out. Other nations heard that God is God. But what do we find with those who are under this plague? Chapter 10. Look at verse 27 with me. Even after all of these things, even after the darkness comes, which occurs in chapter 10, beginning at verse 21, go to verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Moses had responded to Pharaoh. Remember, Pharaoh said earlier, he said, well, I'll let you go, but don't all of you go. You know, leave your kids, but just go with the adults. And he had all of these things. He was trying to control. Pharaoh wanted to be the guy in control. Even after all of these plagues, he wouldn't do what Moses said needed to be done. But what did Moses tell him needed to be done? God had commanded what? That all of his people should go. And that meant everyone and everything. Moses became a great leader during this time. He stood up to the most powerful man on earth, and he basically told him off. He said, no, all of us are going to go. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. That theme also goes throughout this whole passage of the plagues of Egypt, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, because God is the sovereign potter over all of the clay. God is the one who made his heart hard. And Pharaoh, in his hard-heartedness, would not let the people go. And so we come to the next one. Let's go ahead and look at chapter 10 and verse 21. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, and that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. A darkness, notice, to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all of the land of Egypt for 3 days. Now, what does he say? They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Notice what verse 22 says. They did not see one another. Now, you've gotten up in the dark, in the middle of the night. You found the Legos that somebody left on the floor, right? I've hit my little toe on the side of the bed so many times, I can't even count it. But when it's dark, it's dark. We've got night lights. We love them. We leave a light on for the little ones because they're afraid of the dark. But this is a darkness so pitch dark, they did not see one another. And then notice it says, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Now, I don't know about you, but sitting in my place for 3 days in pitch darkness isn't something I would really look forward to seeing. Pitch dark. Not even able to get up. Not even be able to get up and go get a drink of water, go to the bathroom. Not able to get up for 3 days. A darkness to be felt. You couldn't see one another. You couldn't rise from where you were sitting for 3 days. But God's people, it says, they had light and Pharaoh's people did not. Pharaoh's people, the Egyptians, couldn't even find a flashlight or a candle to see because the light had been extinguished and they were in darkness. What a profound, profound plague that God brought upon the people of Egypt. And notice that he brings darkness as opposed to light. There seems to be a great contrast here, light and darkness. In the Old Testament, light signifies covenant blessings, such as prosperity, peace, and justice. Darkness, on the other hand, often reflects judgment and cursing and death. And here, God brings this darkness upon Egypt, a chaos upon Egypt for 3 days. Now, you gotta say it. You think Pharaoh got the message? No. He still hardened his heart. So much so that he said, if I see you again, you will die. He threatens Moses. He threatens Aaron. And Pharaoh threatens to kill them. Pharaoh knew that Egypt was in chaos and facing death. Pharaoh was a dead man as far as his status was concerned. He still had power, but he was discredited among his people. But Pharaoh said this, if you return and announce another judgment, you will die. He was in an urge to mass destruction. Pharaoh hardened his heart. This is the scene that is set for the next plague to come. And that next plague is the final plague that came upon Egypt. That would be the last one. And God set his signs among Egypt, as verse 1 and 2 in chapter 10 tell us. And he set his signs among Egypt so that they would see his sovereign hand. They would see him demonstrate his glorious power. Darkness over light, flies and locusts and hail, destruction. God is in control. And Pharaoh is not sovereign. Pharaoh comes under the plagues of God. And God instructs Moses to tell these signs to his son and to his grandsons. Tell them of God's mighty power over the Egyptians so that you may know that I am the Lord. The sovereign covenant Lord has given these signs for Israel to demonstrate his power over Egypt. And after these signs and after these plagues, the covenant Lord would give one great blessing as well, and that would be the Passover. That Passover would come. The Passover would come, and in the Passover, he would pass over the house of Israel, and he would strike the Egyptians dead, and he would demonstrate the great truth that he had declared, I am the Lord. And Israel would be delivered from Egypt, out of the house of slavery by the strong and sovereign hand of the living God. Israel's exodus from Egypt is a great demonstration of the sovereignty of God, his sovereign power over all of creation, which leads to the redeeming of his people so that they might fellowship with him. And this picture of the exodus is a picture of God's salvation that he accomplishes by sending his son into this world to redeem us from Satan, to redeem us from the house of slavery to sin, and to bring us into the family of God, freeing us from the tyranny of sin. By the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he delivers us from sin and he reconciles us to God. This is the hope of the believer, that we belong to a sovereign Lord and a sovereign King, one who can deliver us and has delivered us from the curse of death and sin by the power of the cross, and one who will bring us home into his family for all eternity. What a great hope we have. We don't have the plagues, but we have the blessings of our sovereign God in Christ Jesus the Lord. May his name be praised forever. Amen.